the Lord's blessing now upon the ministry of His Word. Father, we rejoice for the fact that we have the Word of God open to us this morning. Come now and settle our minds and our hearts, and take away from us those things which would distract and cause our minds to wander. Lord, let us be focused. Let every heart and mind be attentive today to the Word of the living God. Hear our prayer this day. I ask that Thou wilt come and bless and fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I might speak as the Lord's messenger with this message to the people this day. Hear our prayers and hear us, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 5. The text that I want to leave with you today is verse 17. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. What we have in chapter 5 of 1 Kings is the account of the life of Solomon. He is the king referred to here. He is the king that was destined by God to build a house for the Lord. We read from 1 Chronicles chapter 22 the account of David, the father of Solomon. And David, in his desire to build a house for God, but how he was hindered from doing that. In fact, the Lord stopped his servant from building a house, and the reason given was because David was a man of war and had shed much blood. And therefore he was not to be the one to build the house for God. But rather Solomon, whose name means peace, he was going to come after. He was going to build the house. And yet how David's heart yearned to see this house established. How David's heart yearned and he prepared with all his heart. How we read in the context of Chronicles, he prepared iron and silver and gold and stones and wood. With all his heart, in abundance, did he prepare. He would never put his hand to actually construct this house that his heart was so yearning to be a part of. But yet the promise of God had come, his son would build it. Up to this point, the tabernacle which Moses had built in the wilderness had housed the Ark of the Covenant. But its construction was for the most part made of curtains and poles that would be put in the sand. It was made of a portable nature because through the wandering of the children of Israel in the wilderness, well, they needed to be able to move it. But for this last period of time, the tabernacle had been through the days of Samuel the prophet in Shiloh. But David had a desire. He wanted to build a permanent house in the place where God had said, I will establish my name forever. It will be there. David had a heart that was after God, and he prepared with all his heart for this great desire he had. Solomon, in this chapter of 1 Kings 5, continues to gather the resources necessary. He does not stop there. In fact, he continues making a league with Hiram, who was the king of Tyre, and he got men who were able to cut down the lumber, and it was floated down the Mediterranean Sea to the port, and it was then taken to Jerusalem, where it was prepared for the great building. But not just lumber, it included stones. Ah, yes. Stones that were going to have a very important part to play in the whole building of this great temple, this great building. And these stones, it tells us in this verse 17, were great stones. They were costly stones. They were huge stones. And these stones were going to be part of the great foundation of this temple. And I want us to think this morning on some of the features about this foundation of the temple and how they apply to the soul of every single person. And the absolute necessity that you have of your soul being built upon a strong and a solid foundation. Because, friend, today, if your soul is not built upon the strong foundation of Christ alone, then you are headed for a certain disaster when the judgment comes and the water and the floods of judgment come at the end of your life. What is your soul built upon today? Is it built upon a solid foundation or on something shaky? Let's consider, first of all, something about this foundation that was being prepared. The first thing you notice from verse 17 is that the foundation was placed at the command of the king. It says, "And the king commanded, and they brought." The king commanded and they brought. The people responded to King Solomon. He is the one who gives this command. You see, his fame and the respect the people had for him was spreading very, very quickly. He established his reign. His initial prayer to God that he would give him an understanding heart was being demonstrated day by day. And then, of course, there was that most significant event in Solomon's early reign when the two women came to him in the dispute over the young child. You may remember the story. One woman claimed the child belonged to her. And the other woman claimed, "No, it is my child." And the dispute was so strong, there was no way that anyone could determine who was the real mother of this child. And so the king says, "Bring me a sword. We will divide the child in two, giving half to one and half to the other." And of course, the heart of the woman whose child it was yearned. She said, "No, give the child to the other. Let him live." Where the other woman said, "No, let the child die and be divided in two." And Solomon knew who the child belonged to. And that wisdom and that decision that led to the giving of the child to the right mother spread throughout all Israel. And it says that the people feared him because of such a judgment. And so Solomon, who had come to the throne, was quickly gaining ascendancy and was being evaluated in the mind of the people as a king worthy of our service. A king worthy of our worship in the sense that they were going to honor him. The king commanded and the people responded. I wonder, friend, when your king commands you, do you respond? Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you are saved here today, He is the King of your life. In fact, we often sing that song, "King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be." But when we say we crown Him King, do we obey His commandments? Are we sensitive to the leading of the words of our King? Do we heed His word? Or do we find every opportunity and excuse to sidestep the command of God in order that we can fulfill our own will, our own purpose, our own selfish direction? You will notice, "And the king commanded, and they brought." It was immediate. There was no hesitation. There was a working toward that which the Lord directed through Solomon. Christ is the great sovereign of the universe. The Lord, by a word, made all things of nothing, and He has laid the foundation. Notice the connection of the earth. In fact, you remember that He said to Job, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, declare. Or who hath stretched a line upon it in order to measure the earth? Who can do that? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And so God was saying to Job, He was telling him, do you think you know a lot? Can you instruct as to who has done this? The sovereign God of all creation, the King of kings and Lord of lords, because we understand and know that Jesus Christ is the great creator. The King commanded, and the stones and the work commenced, and the people went forward. There's something significant about the foundation. When we think about our soul, when we think about the God of creation, for He is sovereign over all things. Nothing happens outside of His all-seeing and permissive eye. For the Lord God is in control of everything. You know, we can find great comfort in that truth as a believer. We can find great encouragement because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And this is God's providence in all things. And in the believer's life, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We see the providential hand of God in creation and in His providence in working out the purpose and plan that He has. But also, my friend, in your salvation. He is the King that has laid the foundation for your very soul's salvation. Are you trusting and resting in Him today? We have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We have been loved with everlasting love, as we were singing. Led by grace, that love to know. You might say, well, does the Lord use means to accomplish His end? Of course He does. In the whole providential working of the Lord, in our salvation and in His creative power, He has used sometimes secondary and thirdly means to accomplish His end. This really came home to me personally just last Lord's Day. And let me share with you this personal note, because it has to do with our sister Mrs. Providence. How the Lord uses one circumstance to open a door to another circumstance. How the God of providence and of all creation uses a little small insignificant tool. He uses us to accomplish His great and eternal purposes. Last Lord's Day afternoon, Daniel and I went to the hospital at Scarborough General to visit Mrs. Providence. As we were pulling in the parking lot, Lou and Adrian and Nancy were just coming out because they had just been in to visit her. So I turned down a driveway that I would not normally have gone to when I'm visiting at Scarborough General. And I went and we stopped and talked for a moment. And then Lou was just pulling out of his parking spot and he said, well, you might as well take my spot. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. I usually park in the underground parking just around the corner. But nonetheless, I pulled into his parking spot. That means that I was going into the hospital through a different door than what I normally would have gone into. Having gone, walked in through the door, a man was walking out and he said, excuse me, sir, are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. He said, would you please go and visit a neighbor of mine who's dying? He's on the 9th floor of the hospital. I said, well, I'd certainly be glad to do that. I'm visiting another lady, first of all. We went up and had a visit with Mrs. Providence. We read and prayed and talked with her for a few moments. She found it very difficult. She couldn't speak because of the operation she had just had. She could only write on a board. So we spent a little time with her, but she was tired and we didn't stay long. We went up to the 9th floor and into the room, and there was a man lying on the bed, and he was in terrible shape. And we talked to the nurse for a moment, and she said, well, He cannot respond very much, but he can understand what you're saying. And so, I talked with him for a moment and held his hand. The man's eyes were wide open, and I was able to share with him the gospel and just speak to him about the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that even though he could not barely respond, yet he was able in his heart to acknowledge and to call upon the Lord, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the hope that we have in the gospel was able to be given to a man in his dying hours. So we prayed and just read a few verses of Scripture. And then there was a man in the bed next to him. And as we went to just have a short word with him, it turns out that the man himself, though not a Christian, had heard the gospel when he was a young boy. He was also an elderly man, Mr. Azez. He was also, it seemed, very weak in body. Diabetes and some other muscular problems were affecting him, a disease there was no cure for. And then we finished, and I promised the man I would bring him a Bible back the next day. As we were walking out of the hospital, there was another man who was sitting on a park bench just outside. And I walked right out of the hospital and just sort of noticed him there. And as we were walking out in the parking lot, he said something as a way of greeting. And I turned and said a word back to him, and then just went back and sat down on the bench beside him for a moment. He was a man in terrible shape. One foot had already been amputated because of diabetes. One of his right hand was also amputated. The fingers on his left hand, I've never seen like it before. They were blackened because of the lack of circulation, and I'm sure before long he would be losing that hand as well. And just spoke to him for a few moments, just about general things, and he had a pack of cigarettes in his top pocket. He had obviously lived a very hard life. And he said something about, well, whether I die from diabetes or die from smoking, it doesn't really much matter. I'm going to die anyways. And that opened the door to be able to speak to him about his soul and about where you will go after you die. Do you know that there is an afterlife? Do you know you will come to stand before the judgment seat of God? And the man was very, very open and receptive to the gospel. And after spending a little time with him there, he responded and said he wanted to receive Christ as his Savior. And so in a simple prayer, he prayed, and as he began to pray, he started to weep. And the Lord, I believe, had that man there and was just as a piece of fruit ready to fall from the tree. A man who had lived his life a very hard life, it was evident. A man who had lived on the streets a lot of his life. And yet, the Lord, by the power of the gospel, had that man there at the right time. And I share this story with you to encourage you that your steps are directed by the sovereign hand of God, and you do not know what one day will open to you. You do not know what door will open and what opportunity you will have, and how that the Lord, who is the sovereign of the universe, who lays the foundation of the earth, lays the foundation for your steps, believer, day by day. And you can walk in the center of His will. I went back on Monday, last Monday, and I walked into the hotel room, pardon me, into the hospital room on the 9th floor, and the bed was empty. The man had died 2 hours before I got there that afternoon. Mr. Ray was his name, and so only eternity will tell whether that man trusted the Lord in his heart or not. I do not know. Had opportunity to visit with the man in the bed beside him, and then down to visit Mrs. Providence. And little did I know that that would be the last time I would see Mrs. Providence. She was a little bit agitated. She was frustrated at the time. She couldn't speak and communicate the way she would have liked to. But we had an opportunity to spend a few moments with her to read and pray. And you know, downstairs after that and visited the other man who had come to the Lord. His name is Mr. Jim Dent. And I would ask you to pray for him that God would encourage him. I gave him a Bible and showed him where to read from. And all of these things, all of these occurrences, they hinged upon backing them up upon one simple thing. Pulling into a parking spot as opposed to going someplace different. Friend, how often has it been that your life has been redirected because of one small event? Coincidence, some would say. But only those who do not know their God, only those who do not believe in the living God and how He controls the events of our lives. Let's move on, friends, because there's something else in this text in 1 Kings 5 that we learn about this foundation. And that is that it is mostly hidden. Like every foundation of every building. It is mostly hidden, but it is of immense importance. For a structure without a proper foundation will not stand the test of time nor of conditions. Take the time to look at the depths to which builders have dug when a skyscraper is being erected in downtown Toronto. It's all boarded up, but you can look through a little view hole and you look down. They go down a long, long way because the foundation must be strong enough to support the superstructure. It must be able to withstand severe weather. It must be able to withstand the regular stresses of the concrete and steel and of earth tremors should they occur. Only a fool would underestimate the importance of that part of the construction process, because if the foundation be destroyed, what will the people do? Or what will the building do? It will come down. When we think of foundations, sometimes we're tempted to imagine of that which is large. But you know, the foundation of life itself is that which cannot even be seen by the naked eye. The complexity of the cell structure and of its genetic information determines whether a person is going to be a human or whether something is going to be an animal or a vegetable. It's all contained in the information that's within the cell. So small, you cannot see it. The DNA molecule contains all the information of our life. And yet, you know, the Scripture says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search a thing out. What about your soul? What are you depending on today, friend, for eternity? Some people, they don't look to the importance, the immense importance of the foundation of their own soul. They cannot see it, and therefore they wonder if it is of value. And some people will turn to their own self-goodness. Some people will turn to churches. Some people will turn to religion or education or philosophy. Very often it's just a wishful thinking. Well, I hope all will be well with me when I die. Speaking to a man yesterday who's 85 years of age, making jokes about him not being in heaven and probably being in the other place. Wishful hoping, thinking, it's all over when I die. There's no real reality to this afterlife. Listen to the Word of God, my friend, because it says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. For if you do not have Christ as the foundation of your soul, you are in everlasting danger of destruction. My friend, the foundation, it's mostly hidden, but it's of immense importance. And yes, the foundation is mostly hidden, but yet you must have good materials and good workmanship that it's built on. Being mostly unseen, there's a temptation for builders to skimp on the quality of material and workmanship because it's going to be below ground level. You cannot see it. How foolish. But how true that is sometimes. There's a small church building up near Lindsay. And every time I pass it, I wonder with amazement. It's on a little side road. And there's a huge crack in the top of the building by the roof. It's a disused building now. It has been for many years. But that crack runs all the way down the side, right to the ground. And I would suggest to you that the foundation of that building was faulty. Because something has happened and caused that building to, any moment now, any strong wind, I'm sure, would bring that building down. How foolish it is when people do not put enough importance upon that part of their soul and life which they cannot see, but the foundation, it's of immense importance. And the proper materials and the proper workmanship must be put into it. Think of what Solomon did when he gathered. He gathered great stones. He gathered costly stones. He gathered huge stones. In this fact, the temple that was being built back there in Solomon's day was most unique. It was no ordinary building. For no one would use stonework of this quality underground. There's a building being built up near a cottage, and the man has been at this building for a long, long time. And he is facing the building with beautiful finishing stones. You can tell by the look of them, they're very expensive stones. But I guarantee you that the foundation he laid was poured concrete. Just simple poured concrete mixed with stone. It will be strong enough. But if you were to imagine that man taking these beautiful facing stones and putting them below the surface to build that building, which he would then move the dirt against it and it would be all covered up. Well, you'd say, that was a waste of money. How foolish. Would you stand and say the same thing to Solomon? As he was gathering these stones, great stones, costly stones, huge stones, would you say that he was also foolish? The beauty and the preciousness of the foundation was not going to be seen with the natural eye. The tabernacle was very similar to this because it was covered, overlaid with pure gold, and yet covered by these badger skins. These animal skins, so that when you look on the outside, you would have to say it is rather unattractive, maybe even ugly. And yet inside it was of exquisite beauty. And it pleases God to hide from the natural eye the things that He counts of greatest importance. And the spiritual lesson and the message we find in the very foundation of this temple was that those things which are hidden away from the natural man are the most important things. And friend, regarding your soul, the most important thing is that which your natural eyes cannot see. It is only revealed by the Spirit of God. The spiritual man will see. Because when the Holy Ghost comes to take the scales from our eyes, then we will behold. Then we will see the beauty of the Lord Jesus. Then we will see He is the one who has laid the foundation for our soul. And our hope is in Him. I believe that, as in most buildings, the foundation is just slightly evident above the ground. And so in the building of this temple, you would be able to see just a portion of those stones which made up the foundation of this great edifice. You know, natural man despises that which he cannot understand, he cannot see for himself. When Christ was on the cross, They said to Him, "If Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, and then we will believe. You said You will destroy this temple and in 3 days build it again. Come down from the cross, and then we will believe." That which is wisdom with God is foolishness with men, and it's wasteful to men. For when Mary brought the ointment to anoint the head of Christ, and it poured out and filled the whole room with that smell, many around thought this was a great waste. But you see, things that are considered to be wasteful with men, they are precious with God. Don't miss the message, friend. And if you're without Christ here this morning, I encourage you to look to the foundation, the only true and real and valuable foundation for your soul, which is Christ Jesus. These stones were also huge stones. What does that mean? Huge simply means that they were cut. They were prepared stones. Extremely time consuming for these type of foundation. Huge blocks that they would have been. But they were cut. But you know, they were prepared off site. There was not the sound of a hammer in the preparation of that temple. All of those stones had to be measured and prepared off site and then brought and set down in place. The whole construction process, the workmanship was with respect to the nature of this building. They did not want to allow those regular noises of construction to be heard in that building, which was going to be dedicated unto the living God. Now think with me for a moment of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is that great stone. The Bible refers to Him as the elect stone, the precious stone, the head of the corner, the foundation stone that was, yes, rejected by men, but approved of God. He is the one who is the corner. He is the foundation. He is, as Psalm 118 says, the capstone. He is the one who is on the very edifice to finalize the building. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega. Is your soul today built upon Him? Are you trusting Christ for your eternal salvation? Can you say, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus"? Is He your hope for eternity? And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, huge stones, to lay the foundation for the house. If your house is built upon the sand, it will not stand the test of judgment. It must be built upon the rock of Christ Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Just before we close in prayer today, I would encourage you, my friend, to call upon the Lord and to search out your own heart and realize that you cannot survive if you are not built upon that true foundation. Let me spend whatever time I can with you at the end of the service to read and pray with you and look into God's Word. We'll show you how you can know in your own heart that you are truly built upon that foundation of Christ. Father, hear our prayer this day. Continue to be with us. Strengthen our hand. Keep us in the Spirit, we pray, upon the Lord's day. Bless any who are still wondering, still debating. Defeat Satan, we ask of Thee, O God. Let him not come with his many doubts and fears. But rather, we pray that there would be victory today, that some soul would come through for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.